all things NFL. Now here's your hosts, Root and Wine.
Well, 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 welcome back to another episode of Woot and Why, the first off-season episode. I'm Josh Why, and I'm joined by...
Josh Woot.
What's going on?
Just a lot of smoothies with mixed berries and...
Not frozen berries, I
frozen,
hope.
Frozen, frozen mixed berries.
After the frozen berry gate down here with... I'm adding gate to everything these days, that's an issue. Pretty full on.
That was a nervous week.
I've had a bit of a full on week. I was hanging out with Carmichael Hunt. and that sort of escalated quickly. Today's show, we are joined by Shane Richardson. You can follow him on Twitter at ShaneNFL. He's going to go through some salary cap stuff with us while free agency is on its way and the draft is fastly approaching. So, he wrote a piece for Sports Kings, 32 players that may find themselves cut, so one from each team. So we're going to talk to him about a few of those players, not all of them, and see what he thinks about those. And we're also going to go through some NFL news, and we're going to give us our sort of combine players to watch. Mm-hmm. So let's get on it. We're just going to go through a whole heap of stuff that's happened the last fortnight. So we'll start off with Larry Fitzgerald's new deal. He's reduced his salaries on a two-year, $22 million deal.
Mm-hmm.
Essentially, it's 4 years, but he's not going to play the last two, so they will carry some sort of cap penalty for those last 2 years where he won't be playing.
Yep.
Good move.
It's too late in your career to be going somewhere else and then trying to learn a new system and things like that. And then, you know, he's a... You seem to develop some kind of rapport with Carson Palmer, so that's, you know...
Yeah, and he's a good mentor for John Brown and mm-hmm. Floyd, and I think look, even him just being on the field creates sort of game planning and attention, so I think it helps their offense, especially their vertical offense, because he was running a lot of underneath routes towards the end of the year.
But I still do believe he won't be the...
The guy?
I still think he'll be the guy, the... slot guy. I don't think he would be the...
No. The deep threat's John Brown now, and mm-hmm. Floyd as well. Alright, there's some speculation about Sam Bradford asking to be put on the trading block. Some rumours swelling around about Sam Bradford. There's not really much news, it's just more of a speculative thing. What do you think... Where do you think Sam Bradford would be playing in 2015?
If he wasn't constantly injured, even, like, if there wasn't the injury risk... He's a great quarterback, I think. I still think he's like...
He's got a really good arm, but we just haven't seen it in so long.
Yeah.
Yeah. Look, there's a few teams that I think could benefit from Sam Bradford. I think Buffalo could deal with Sam Bradford. They have enough cap space for him. Mm-hmm. That's the issue. He has a big cap because he was the last sort of first pick quarterback that was on the old rookie scale where they set the deal. So he signed it like a $70 million deal before playing a snap in the NFL. And... I think Cleveland could use Sam Bradford.
God, no.
No?
No.
Behind that O-line with a good running game?
Yeah, but...
I don't know.
They can't risk it with, like, injured player like
that's
Bradford.
True. All right, moving on to another big-name quarterback, Peyton Manning. A week ago, it sounded like he was going to be back, but no one's 100% confirmed it yet in Denver. They're just sort of textbook cliche answers. What do you think?
I don't know. One week it says that, you know, I spoke to him, yeah, he'll be back for one more year, blah, blah, blah. And then the next, you're like, so, how's Manning going? And he's like, I don't know, I haven't heard anything from him.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Then there's talk that his salary is too high. They're going to try and make him take a pay cut. I think he's earned enough money to take a pay cut.
Yep.
But then again, he's... Peyton Manning, so you pay what you get. But then again, the last sort of 6 weeks, his form wasn't the best. Mm-hmm. So is he worth the amount of money that he's on?
Probably not.
But then again, I'd rather be paying overs for Peyton Manning than having Brock Osweiler under center.
Ooh, I don't know. Big Brock is...
Big Brock.
He's come along in the... No, I'm kidding. He's...
Proud from
He's just no.
RG3 was named the starter by Jay Gruden at the Combine, so they were confident on that, but Jay Cutler didn't get the same endorsement from John Fox.
Yeah, no.
Which is, I find, really... I would have had it the other way around.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean... it's...
I would have thought John Fox walked in, new coach, I'm behind Jay Cutler, I'm behind our team, I'm behind our, you know, players, and now it's sort of like, you know what, I don't know.
Yeah, but then I don't know. You can't. I think it's more, you know, don't let anyone feel safe. Make everyone work hard.
Yeah.
That kind of
play thing. Play hard for your position.
Yeah, it was kind of like the whole Michael Vick, Nick Foles situation when Chip Kelly came in.
Yeah,
it was
that's
like,
true.
No, I'm not, you know, endorsing anyone.
No, that's right. Russell Wilson's new contract might be 100% guaranteed.
Yeah, the first ever. That was I'm gonna say that. Would definitely that would help, you know, them with other like contracts in the future. But I mean,
because it'd be less money. But
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy to think.
It's risky as well because if something happens to him and he gets injured, you've got to pay out that whole contract.
Yeah, and we like don't know how good Russell Wilson is without Marshawn Lynch,
without an elite defense.
Yeah, I mean,
well, he's great. He's a great player, yeah, but we don't know how high his ceiling truly is as a player.
Yep.
The Eagles released James Casey, your boy. Is he your boy?
He gets like one reception a year, doesn't he? yeah, for $4 million, that's...
my first reaction was, oh, he's still with the Eagles.
Yeah. No, he scored a couple of touchdowns this last season. A
couple of vultures?
He was red zone plays, no one knew he was on the field. Yeah, no, it was about time. I mean... When he was originally signed, everyone thought, oh, this guy's, you know, Chip Kelly's new weapon. The guy barely
played. Yeah, he was one of his first signings.
I think it was because Zach Ertz was there in the second, and I mean, Zach Ertz is coming along terrifically. So
he's going well. Yeah. Tight ends take a while to develop,
yeah.
I think, and everyone sort of got on the Ertz train really early for fantasy last year. I think it might have been a year too early. I think this year might be the year.
Yep.
Texans are pushing very hard for Ryan Mallett to be their quarterback for 2015. Do you think that's the right move?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do. I mean...
it's hard, because you had one game sample.
Yeah.
But I think you saw enough out of Ryan Fitzpatrick to know he's not.
Well, I think you definitely know Fitzpatrick's not.
Yeah, process of elimination.
And then it's also, do you want to start, you know, drafting players and kind of building around for Fitzpatrick's skill set rather than Mallett's.
Did I stutter?
I did. I did.
Yeah, no, I... there's no... and they played too good to be in a quarterback race.
Yep.
Which is typical Texans. They just keep missing on that quarterback. And they should... if they took Derek Carr last year, they'd be sitting... I'd be very scared of them.
Yep.
In the AFC South. But that's how the Texans do it every year. They just shoot themselves in the foot.
It's going to be interesting to see how Clowney comes back.
Yeah, there was talk about that yesterday as well. They're confident in his comeback from that knee surgery. This is a good one. We like Charles Johnson. And Mike Zimmer basically said he's our number one receiver. So ahead of Cordarrelle Patterson and ahead of Greg Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Jennings might be mentioned later on in terms of, you know, salary cap casualty. But Charles Johnson... high on the fantasy radar.
Yeah, I mean, he came along like strong down the stretch last year, which was good. I know they wear helmets, but have you seen his haircut without it?
Yeah, it's like a bleached blonde.
It's like a bleached blonde. Yeah, I don't know what it is really, but I mean,
New York Bozo haircut.
Wouldn't go that far, but yeah,
it's like a Power Ranger haircut.
Yeah, when I first saw him, when I saw his picture on the fantasy football, and just went, what the hell is that?
It's what I imagined the Red Power Ranger would have had as his haircut.
The Red Power Ranger?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I'll go with that.
Yeah, that's cool. Ryan Clark retires, Pittsburgh legend, finished up in Washington, I believe. Wasn't really relevant the last 2 years, I guess.
Yeah.
And immediately joined ESPN. So he's gonna. Yeah. Seems like
ESPN. Do you think he would have retired if he didn't have a job at ESPN, or would he just hung around?
Yeah, he probably would have gone for another year, ended up on a roster somewhere as a backup or something like that,
yeah,
earning an okay salary. But it seems to me that ex-Patriot players end up on NFL Network and ex-Pittsburgh players end up on ESPN. Just seems to be the way it goes. Vincent Jackson's been confirmed to stay in Tampa Bay in 2015. I think that's a good move if whoever they draft at quarterback, to have that stability between Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans, that'll help ease the transition across.
Yep.
Especially with that offensive line that they have. And the last one is mixed reports on the Titans quarterbacks. I think it was about a week ago, we got a Bleacher Report update saying that they're going to stick with Zach Mettenberger. And then at the Combine, their GM was saying, no, we're weighing up all our options at the quarterback position. What would you do if you're a Titans GM?
I would draft Marcus.
You would draft Marcus? Presuming Winston's gone number one.
Yeah. Which I do think he's... I would say lock that in already.
Winston?
Yeah.
I said that today after watching his press conference. Yeah. A lot of people thought he was very arrogant, saying I want to win. But I like the confidence. I like how relaxed he was. I don't know if he was trained to speak about his issues in a certain way, but it came across fairly genuine when he talked about wherever he ends up, he wants to get on the front foot immediately into the community and try and change his image. He wants to be the face of a franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about his little brother and how he's got to step up and be a role model. I thought it was genuine. He could be playing us all for fools, but I found it as a genuine. But yeah, on the field, I have no question. You don't
know with all this media. PR kind of stuff.
Yeah, it is, but I found it genuine.
Yeah, I mean, the way the Bucks and all that talk about him, it seems like they're set to take him, unless it's all a smokescreen and they want Mariota. Yeah. Either way, they're definitely getting one of the quarterbacks.
Yeah.
But
the Titans, you pick up whoever's left over.
You do, but I mean,
I don't think Zach Mettenberger was a 6th round pick. He wasn't much. He wasn't much. I think
it wasn't like they didn't go like a 3rd round on Mettenberger. At the time, no one knew really when any of the late quarterbacks were going to go last year. It was a complete gamble.
Sort of a mesh.
But I still could see the Titans trading their pick.
Trading down?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with the Titans, they don't have that much offensive production. They have their offensive line, which is really good. I think they could change their offense to suit Marcus's abilities, and it wouldn't affect things too much. They don't have a solid run game. They don't really have, apart from Kendall Wright and glimpses of Justin Hunter, they don't have much there that they could sacrifice, you know, changing that offense around to suit Marcus Mariota.
I know. I mean, that Mariota is, he's like an insane athlete, but then, you know, like the reason that Winston is number one, he doesn't have, like, he wasn't part of that kind of
pro-style
offense and that kind of thing. But, I mean, you could definitely see him developing that. But then, there's still reports coming out about Philly, like,
trying.
Not trying, but, like, they are exploring every option they can to get him. And then secondary, which is their biggest concern, is, like, their backup
option. I think we're going to have a whole episode on trade speculations where we're going to get people to tweet us their insane trades. I know Scott has this 3-way Cleveland Jets Eagles trade that ends up you guys getting Marcus Mariota. It's insane. That's the NFL news, and let's get Scott on the line to talk about, not Scott, Shane, to talk about the salary cap issues. All right, joining us on the line is our capologist expert Shane, all the way from Phoenix, Arizona. You can follow him on Twitter at ShaneNFL. How are you going, Shane?
Outstanding. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, we're pretty good.
Yeah, we're great.
We're going good. We're good now. We had some technical troubles, but we're up and running. We're up and running.
Roger that.
Yes. Tell us a bit about yourself before we kick into the cap stuff.
Well, my primary NFL team is the Cardinals, but I like to be able to intelligently talk to all NFL teams and their rosters and kind of what's going on with their caps. I think that if fans have a good understanding of what a team's cap situation is, then they can have an appreciation of who they can cut and who might be a possibility for them to sign.
Yep.
So you have some fans that will just say, hey, we need to cut this guy, And then they don't realize that there's a huge dead money hit, that the team is better off just keeping him on the roster. Conversely, they might not have enough cap room to absorb a player through trade or through free agency.
Yeah, okay. Fair enough. Before we ask you some particulars about certain teams and scenarios that are happening in this certain offseason, can you fill in some of our listeners? A lot of our listeners are Australian, and there's some really dedicated NFL fans, so they'll know all of this, but there's a few that probably don't understand the basic concepts of the salary cap, things like guaranteed money, bonuses, and dead money. If you could try your best to dumb it down and just give us, you know, a minute or two on explaining that.
Okay, so the NFL, the way the league is structured, they have a salary cap. This year it's going to be between 140 and 143 million. Right now most cap sites are using 140 million until the NFL comes out with a firm number. And that's the maximum amount that a team can have against their roster when the season starts March 10th. So when you hear terms of like teams like the Saints, who are 21 million over the cap, by March 10th, they have to get that number down to 140 million. As far as guaranteed money goes, when a player signs a contract, for example, Larry Fitzgerald just restructured with the Cardinals, and he signed a restructuring contract that gives him 22 million guaranteed over the next 2 years. That's money that they must pay him. Now, sometimes you'll see contracts, in fact, you'll see contracts a lot where the dead money hit, which is the money, the cap hit that the team takes if that player is cut or traded, sometimes exceeds guaranteed money. And what happens with that is what you have are typically signing or restructuring bonuses. So let's say I contracted Josh Y here, or just to make it easy, 4 years for $6 million. And I gave him $2 million signing bonus up front. Well, that $2 million signing bonus, the way the cap hit works is how it's friendly for the team, is it gets prorated over the life of the contract. So for Josh, since it's a $6 million contract with a $2 million signing bonus, I'd pay him $1 million per year, but because of the proration, I would take an additional $500,000 per year to make up for that signing bonus that I gave him.
Yep.
Cool. All right. That was good. So everyone's
that was a good
analogy. And yeah. I'm happy if someone wants to sign me for $6 million over 4 years. I'm down with that. I'm down with that. All right. We'll start with the first one. You mentioned the Saints being a substantial amount over the salary cap, just ridiculous amount over the cap. And you said by March 10th, so they haven't got long. They've got a couple of weeks now to clear the cap space. Who do you see will be the wise and logical choices to be cut from the Saints team?
Well, the first player I'd look at for cutting is Jerry Evans. He is currently an $11 million cap hit, which is a ton. He's scheduled to be the highest paid guard in the league in 2015. So he didn't perform well last year. He was ranked on Pro Football Focus, which is a site that grades every player at every position, and he was ranked the 46th best guard in the league, and that doesn't equate to being the top paid guard in the league. So if they cut him, they would save $6 million. Now, this isn't a cut, but the Bank of Breeze is open, and what I mean by that is Breeze has an $18.8 million base salary. His cap hit in 2015 is $26.2 million, but that $18.8 million base structuring, base salary, is a salary that can be worked with by the team. And when you have fans who are looking at, like, hey, who can restructure, you want to look at that base salary because the bonus is already figured in. Those can't be restructured. But the Saints could take Breeze's $18.8 million base salary. They could restructure his contract, give him an upfront signing bonus of, let's just say, $16 million. So if they did it over 4 years, then $4 million of that would count against this year, and $12 million would be pushed down the road. Okay. One thing that fans need to understand with restructuring is that all you're doing is pushing the bill down the road. Yeah. Eventually it comes due.
Yeah.
But that would mean that they save about $8 million.
In this year.
Yeah, for this year. Yeah.
because he would still get some sort of base salary.
Yeah.
And then you'd still get the prorated bonus against the cap.
Yeah.
But the Saints are in a dire situation.
It's shocking, and that's why everyone was shocked when they signed Jarvis Byrd last season, because they were in the same cap situation, not as bad last year, but we're at the brink of it. And I think that deal's really hurt them this year and down the road.
Yeah. They mortgaged their future to try to win last year. And if you look at the top 10 players for the Saints, Drew Brees is the number 2 ranked paid quarterback in the league. Junior Gallette is the number, he's the number 1 4-3 paid defensive end in the league. I believe they're 4-3.
Yeah,
sure. Jarry Evans is the number 1 guard, and Jarius Byrd is the number 1 paid safety.
Yeah, wow. That's ridiculous. A couple of other players that could find the axe, Marques Colston and Broderick Bunkley.
Yes, Marques Colston, I think, is a prime candidate. I do not believe he will be a Saint next year. He has done a lot for the organization. He was a late-round pick. He's been relatively injury-free throughout his career. And, you know, until he signed his second contract, he was relatively a low cap pick. But if the Saints cut him, they will save about $4.3 million, I believe, against the cap. And Broderick Bunkley, I believe he has also gone too, so good on you for pointing them out. He'll save them about another $3 million, like $2.9 million.
Yeah, okay, so that's a fair chunk. And Colston wasn't really the guy in the offense last year. He didn't catch too many passes. He let a lot of people down in fantasy leagues.
Brandon Cooks and Kenny Stills are playing well. And, I mean, it'll be hard to imagine the New Orleans Saints without Colston.
It's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they, as Shane said, they put all their money in to win last year because they had the roster and everyone predicted them to go far, and it just completely backfired.
I still remember when everyone was trying to guess where Jarius Byrd would end up. The Saints were never considered
an option, even a
candidate, let alone, yeah.
Absolutely right.
Yeah.
All right, backloaded his contract, so they're going to get the hit next year because they didn't take it in 2014.
Yeah. No, well, they'll learn from that, I guess, and we'll move on from the morbid New Orleans Saints to another team that's interesting because they've got two players that are probably in the top two or three of their position in the league in terms of talent. The Dallas Cowboys, with both Dez Bryant and DeMarco Murray needing to orchestrate new deals. What do you see would be the likely outcome for Dallas and those two players in the salary cap?
Here's what I think. I think Dez Bryant is the priority. The Cowboys finally, after many years of being in cap trouble every year, typically the Cowboys were always going into the offseason in the hole. They were always over the cap and had to make cuts and figure things out. They're entering the offseason at $17 million under the cap, so they're in decent position to franchise Dez Bryant if they need to. My opinion is that they should... They're not going to let Dez Bryant go. They should franchise him, but of course they should try to sign him to a long-term contract. I believe he leads all receivers since he came into the league with the most touchdown passes. As far as DeMarco Murray goes, the days of signing a running back to big contracts, I think, is kind of outdated. And when you consider what a great offensive line Dallas has, I believe their only free agent this year is going to be Doug Free. They have such a great offensive line. There should be no reason why they can't either find a lower round back in free agency or draft one kind of in the third or fourth or fifth round to plug and play into their offense. Some people talk about Adrian Peterson. I think Adrian Peterson might consider taking a less of a paycheck if he can play for a contender behind an offensive line like Dallas's, because AP is entering. He'll be 30 this year, this offseason, and he may be getting into those years where he's looking to try to contend. Mm. So I think they let DeMarco Murray walk.
Ooh. Yeah, that was going to be my next question about Adrian Peterson, actually. Yeah.
He's not feeling the vibes for the Vikings.
Yeah.
What I
think about Adrian Peterson is that his mistrust with the Vikings organization, he has really nobody to blame but himself.
Oh, of course.
I mean,
we agree.
The Vikings signed him to a mega deal. They gave him a big contract, and then he had the legal issues with his with the child abuse situation. And while I don't believe that AP was malicious in his intent in disciplining his son, he did cause the problem. So a lot of people speculate that, oh, AP is not going. I've seen Ian Rappaport from NFL Network say that the Vikings have told him that AP, Adrian Peterson is not going to be cut. When I look at his contract, and he would save the Vikings $13 million against $15.4 million, they'd only take a $2.4 million cap hit if they cut him. I don't see how they can justify keeping Adrian Peterson. When you look at $15.4 million, you really start thinking about quarterback position. Yeah. You don't think about a running back position.
Yeah, no.
That's crazy. And AP has openly said that he wants to go to Dallas. That's his hometown, and he's buddies with Jerry Jones.
Yes, and I just think that all the talk of Vikings not saying that they're not going to cut him is a smokescreen. Mm. And if you think about it, what team is going to trade for AP and take on a $13 million cap hit for a running back?
No team in their right mind would do it, except maybe the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have about $60 million in cap space, but they don't have an offensive line or are looking to contend in anything. In terms of the Dallas Cowboys, their cap space has been better this year than in recent seasons. Is there anyone that would likely be cut to save them some cap space? I had a look around, and like even someone who played poor last year, Brandon Carr, even cutting him would not save them too much money at all.
It wouldn't at all. And you know, we talked when I gave the intro and talked about saving dead money and saving cap space. Brandon Carr would only save them $500,000. They would still take a $12.2 million cap hit if they cut Brandon Carr.
Yeah.
I did take a look at their top 10 players, and for all your fans that are listening, the reason why I focus on the top 10 salaries is because typically for an NFL team, they have about 57% of their cap as of today tied up in their top 10 players. So that's where you first look for where the cap situation is for the player, because after that, you're dividing about 43% among the remaining 43 players on the roster.
1% of the player.
Yeah, basically. Wow. So the only player that I saw in the top 10 who I think could be cut is McKenzie Bernadou. If he were cut, he would only save him like $1.5 million.
Oh, okay.
And he is a versatile player. He can play all along the line. So even though he didn't play that great last year, he had some injury concerns. He's like the 29th highest paid guard in the league. I'm not really sure if they even cut him, but he's the only player in the top 10 I see.
Yeah, I mean, Dallas seemed to be doing a pretty good job with their cap situation then.
Yeah, they're managing things quite well. If they can secure Dez on a long-term deal, they're sitting mighty fine.
I mean, I think the whole Brandon Carr example is perfect, isn't it, to what we were saying before, how when fans are like, oh, cut him, we'll save money, when really the whole dead money situation, fans just don't understand, you know, that aspect of the whole contract.
Exactly, and the only time a team would probably consider cutting a player where there was more more dead money than there was his cap hit is in a situation where it's just not good for the team, like he's a cancer or something. And Brandon Carr in 2015 is the third highest paid cornerback in the league. He graded out as the 90th cornerback in 2014 out of 107.
Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, he's really overpaid, but unfortunately, you know, Dallas is stuck with him, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, that's the reason their secondary's, you know, been torched in recent years. We'll move on to another team that's sort of got two big name players that are hitting the off season, and that's the Green Bay Packers with Brian Bulaga and Randall Cobb. I did a post for the Raw a couple of weeks ago where I looked at franchise tagging, and I think it made more sense to tag Randall Cobb and then work on a deal with Brian Bulaga. Bulaga's had injury histories, and you don't really want to be taking I think it's $13 million for the tag on a right tackle that's had some ACL injuries.
Well, I do not believe that they're going to let Randall Cobb get away. I don't think they'll have to franchise him to get a deal done.
Yep.
I think receivers especially need to be cognizant of when they're playing with an elite quarterback. And, you know, even though Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, if I was drafting a team today, all the rosters were cleared, I think I would still take Aaron Rodgers given his age and how well he performs. So I think Randall Cobb will recognize that he's playing with an elite quarterback and that his stats will be significantly better than if, like, he tried to go to Jacksonville, for example. And the Packers aren't bad off salary cap-wise. The average cap room in the NFL as of today is $22.3 million. The Packers are sitting above that at $25.3 million.
Yeah, right.
So they have room to negotiate. And, by the way, that number doesn't include the cutting of Brad Jones.
Yeah, I was just about to say that. They just cut Brad Jones today.
Yeah, so they added another $3.8 million, and I do believe A.J. Hawk will be another cap casualty for the Packers. He has never performed up to his draft status. So combined with Brad Jones, if they cut A.J. Hawk too, that'll give him another 7.3. So they'll be sitting at $32.6 million.
Wow.
And I think they really have a lot of wiggle room to get Cobb back on the roster long term. If that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
I agree with you about Brian Bulaga. I think contract negotiations with him will be fairly middle of the road.
Yeah. And with $31 million, and they want to keep Bulaga, at least they have the space where they can sort of at least wiggle a little bit if Bulaga demands a little bit more money, because, you know, elite tackles are hard to come by in this league, and keeping Aaron Rodgers safe is priority number one.
Yes.
Yeah.
I definitely think that they definitely want to keep that offensive line intact.
Yeah. And so you reckon A.J. Hawk will be the next on the chopping block?
I have to imagine A.J. Hawk was the 52nd ranked, and I believe that. Let me double check my numbers real quick. As far as inside linebackers go, out of 60 inside linebackers, A.J. Hawk graded out as the 52nd. He's the 18th highest paid in 2015. I doubt that the Packers keep him. He's never lived up to the expectation of his draft status. I believe he was drafted. Wasn't he drafted like fifth?
He was drafted high.
Very high. I still think if he is a cap casualty, I still don't think he'd struggle to find a team for very long. I still think just
on name alone and draft status, I think he'd still end up somewhere. But if it means saving them some money and securing Brian Bulaga and Randall Cobb long term, I think the Packers will do that. They're a pretty smart organization.
I kind of feel the same way about Jarry Evans. I feel like if the Saints cut him, I don't think it'll. You know, I still think there'll be a bidding war for him, even though he graded out so poorly.
He did. To be fair, a lot of New Orleans players did not perform well last year at all, in any respect. Moving on to the Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. Interesting in their secondary here. Their secondary was, you know, prominent in their success last year or this year in early February. Both Darrell Revis and Devin McCourty are two names that need to be locked up, but their cap situation isn't the best.
No. The Patriots are one of two teams, so the Saints being the other, that are currently over the cap, but they're only $2.5 million. The interesting thing about Revis's contract is he has a $5 million dead money hit, which that means that's the minimum cap hit that the Patriots will take no matter what happens with Revis, but he has a $20 million option. So if the Packers can get a deal redone where they extend Revis long-term, they can take that $20 million, do what we talked about as far as prorating a signing bonus over the life of the contract, and then they'll be over the cap and be able to do some stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Revis graded out as the fourth best cornerback in the league as of today, because he's still sitting at the – they're still counting the option. He's the highest paid cornerback in the league at $25 million. Number two will be Patrick Peterson.
Do you think if they do that, they'll have room to hang on to Devin McCourty, who I think is probably a bit in the second best? I don't know if that matches up on Pro Football Focus, but I thought he was the second best safety in the league last year.
He did really well, and I am sure that they would like to keep him. Again, their cap situation is not so favorable to allow him to do that. I forget who I thought that they would cut. I think their cap situation is fairly good. I thought they, 2 years ago they were going to cut Vince Wilfork, and they kept him, and he played outstanding out of position this year.
Yeah, the rumors are that he will be the one that's cut, and I think it was about $8 million was what they were going to save. Your article had the New England Patriots cutting Nate Solder, but I think he performed pretty well in the playoffs, that they might hang on to him in that situation.
He did step it up in the playoffs. He graded out as the 44th highest tackle in the league. He's the 16th highest paid. The big thing with Nate Solder, the reason why I chose him, is because he has zero dead money.
Yeah.
The Patriots could very easily look at him and say, $7.4 million. We'd rather sign Devin McCourty and cut him and then go look to the draft to try to get another tackle.
That makes it
a lot and, of sense. And tackles are deeper than the safety class this year.
In the draft.
Because, yeah, the draft isn't looking too good for the safety position.
Safety is thin in the draft. So you think both Revis and McCourty will be in New England in September?
I think so, and one of the primary reasons is I don't feel like the Patriots have had a great drafting record over the last few years. Yes, they're the Super Bowl champions, but I think they could do a lot better in the draft than they've been doing. Of course, they've been picking lower because they're always winning.
Yeah.
So the caliber of players that they're drafting isn't in the top 15 or the top 20th ranked. So I believe it would be Belichick's preference to keep McCourty and Revis, keep a good thing going, a player who knows their scheme.
Yeah.
Devin McCourty graded out as the 8th highest safety last year out of 87.
Yeah.
You got to hang on to that guy. You really need to. When they have won Super Bowls, their defense has been in the top 15 in the league every year they've won a Super Bowl, three times in the top 10. So keeping that elite secondary, I think, is something Bill Belichick will want to do.
But then, even though it's Bill Belichick, you never know what's going to happen.
Bill Belichick could draft a safety in the 5th round that no one rated and turn into a megastar. You just don't know with the guy. He's just too good. The last little bit, before we just mention particular players that you brought up in your article that will probably get cut. How do you think the Chiefs are going to solve their wide receiver woes? I know they cut Donny Avery and AJ Jenkins, I believe. Yeah, my memory on him isn't very good because he's not a very good player. How do they chase the big names in free agency if they're only I think 2 or 3 million in cap space?
Right. As of today, they're $4.6 million. Even with the cut that I suggested, which I believe was Derek Johnson, that's only going to give them another $5.3 million. I think the Chiefs are going to have to go to the draft. There are some nice names in the draft again this year. Last year's draft, you probably won't see that kind of rookie class at wide receiver again. A lot of people don't realize this, but since the mid-90s, there was only one wide receiver who went over 10 touchdowns and 1,000 yards in his rookie season until last year, and that was Randy Moss. And then you had two do it last year and almost a third.
Yeah, that's so crazy.
It was probably the best rookie wide receiver class in the modern era. I've never seen anything like it. So I think that the Chiefs are going to have to go to the draft to find a receiver to help them. Unfortunately, they're stuck with Dwayne Bowe. We talk about the dead money. If they cut him, it's only going to be $5 million in savings. They're going to take a $9 million cap hit. Oh, so God.
That's very unfavorable. Them.
Yes.
And they didn't capitalize last year on that wide receiver class. They could have taken, there was three or four players when they were on the clock, and they ended up taking D Ford, an outside linebacker. Would them taking D Ford make you think that Tamba Haley might be a cap casualty? I looked at his contract. I can't remember off the top of my head, but cutting him would save them some coin.
I got it for you. It's nine. It would save them about $9 million.
Yeah, there you go.
So the thing is I don't think that they will cut both Derek Johnson and Tamba Haley.
Yeah.
The reason why I chose Derek Johnson is because he's 33 years old. He's coming off an Achilles injury.
Yeah.
And even though he made the Pro Bowl the previous 3 years, when you have a player that old who had such a significant injury, I think he's more the prime candidate to be cut. I think they would look maybe to restructure Tamba Haley. See, Tamba Haley doesn't deserve a pay cut. He graded out as the 13th highest outside linebacker.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Just saves them more money. So, but, yeah, Derek Johnson, 33, off an injury, does just no way. No way would you.
Exactly. Yeah. And he'll find work, like you say. Don't feel bad for Derek Johnson because, there is a need for inside linebackers. I mean, let's talk about, we talked about A.J. Hawk. Packers cut A.J. Hawk, maybe they bring in Derek Johnson. Maybe he's willing to go to Green Bay and play for a contender.
That makes sense. That'd be pretty cool. Derek Johnson and Julius Peppers and Clay Matthews.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. All right, we'll go through some of the players before we let you go that you mentioned on your article. A couple of big names. One of them I want to bring up because Mr. Woot here is an Eagles fan, and you suggested cutting LeSean McCoy.
Yes, and here's the deal. This is why I chose LeSean McCoy. First, we talked about investing big-time money in running back positions. I think the league is going to get away from doing that. And unfortunately, in the collective bargaining agreement, you know, with rookie contracts, they can't renegotiate before the third year for the players drafted beyond a certain point. And then the players drafted second round or later, they also have issues with when they can renegotiate their contracts. Running backs were the player were the position that were hurt the most in the collective bargaining agreement because typically running backs get ground up and it's hard for them to get to that second contract. So the reason why I chose LeSean McCoy is because it saves the Eagles $7.6 million in cap space. They're not hurting for cap space. They have $24.4 million. But Darren Sproles last year performed better than LeSean McCoy, and it just felt like behind, I believe the Eagles have, the Eagles and the Cowboys have the best offensive lines in football, and they were healthy last year. And LeSean McCoy, he did better the previous year when they had a lot of injuries along their offensive line than he did last year. So I'm not entirely sure that they keep him. I mean, it's just in my opinion that he could be a cap casualty.
Yeah.
Can you explain something to me? If, just say, Philadelphia really try to explore this whole Marcus Mariota rumor, and they were to, you know, trade LeSean McCoy possibly for a higher draft pick. Then what happens with their situation? How do they lose money there? Is that
You talking?
All right, Alex. Yeah, I gotcha. I understand what your question is. In a trade, when you talk about dead money, what happens with dead money is for LeSean McCoy's situation. Unfortunately, he doesn't have any guaranteed base salary, I believe, in 2014. So the Eagles would still take a $4.4 million cap hit,
yeah,
but his entire contract would move over to the new team. Now, if he had guaranteed money on his contract left, the guaranteed money, not the prorated portion, would move to the new team. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. That...
He has $1 million in guaranteed money.
Yeah, that's that's not that much. So that's a possible option they can explore. See, I'm not totally against the idea. I think running backs are expendable.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with like the running back class this year as well. I mean, I know Sproles is getting on in years, but he didn't look, you know, he didn't show that age last year. No, he looked great.
He looked young again.
Yeah.
I thought Kerry Williams would probably be a better option for the Philly to cut.
Oh, I think that is that who I chose?
Oh, you had that. You mentioned that in the paragraph. Let me find it here. Where are we? NFC.
They would save 6. Oh, that's what I did. I said with a nod to Kerry Williams. I took LeSean McCoy because he's the bigger one, but Kerry Williams, I definitely think he's a candidate to be cut too.
Yeah, you said it.
I think both Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher, they need to...
burnt toast. Yeah. That's what they were last year.
Let me set one up for you. I've been looking at, for a couple years now, I've been looking at D'Amico Ryans as a cap casualty. He was the one that I picked last year.
Yep.
But every Eagles fan that I talk to just loves him. They say he's the captain of the defense and he's just awesome. Is that what you see when you watch the Eagles?
I mean, he does have those leadership qualities, and I feel that he does gel all those pieces around, but I mean, he was out for a lot of last season, and Michael Kendricks really handled that, stepping up in that leadership role. I can easily see the Eagles cutting him as well, especially at his age now.
Here's the thing about D'Amico Ryans. I want to tell you, he has no dead money.
Ooh.
So if they cut him, they would realize all of his $6.9 million in savings.
Yeah, that's He's gone then. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, especially with Michael Kendrick's brother, Eric Kendricks, in the draft. I mean,
he's going to the Colts, buddy.
And he has an interview with the Philadelphia Today.
Does he? Oh, yep. Man. And you pick him before us. Eric Kendricks is my favorite player in the draft.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think D'Amico played only like 500 snaps last year, too, out of about 1,000. Yeah. So you're paying for a part-time player.
Yeah, I know, and he's not the linebacker he used to be. He's not running down, you know, running backs, etc. I mean, he's just kind of a run stopper, kind of
It's just middle of the line.
Yeah, middle of the line.
He's a two down back.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Some other names that you brought up that I thought were interesting. We've already touched on Adrian Peterson, AJ Hawk, Jarry Evans, Derek Johnson. Matt Schaub makes a ton of sense for Oakland.
Can I talk about the Raiders for a second?
Yeah.
I know they're not doing great. I'm not sure how many Raiders fans you have out there in Australia, but I have to tell you all that Reggie McKenzie, as a GM, has done a great job with giving himself flexibility in the top 10 cap hits for the Raiders. Out of the top 10 cap hits, he can cut 5 of those players: Matt Schaub, Lamar Woodley, Justin Tuck, Donald Penn, and Antonio Smith, with no dead money hits. And they already have $54.2 million in cap space.
Wow.
So he signed those players very smartly, in the sense that, hey, if you perform, you'll be around next year. If you don't, you won't. Yeah. So like Justin Tuck, he played very well given how much he's paid. He's probably going to be around next year.
Yeah.
I don't think Matt Schaub is. Lamar Woodley is probably gone. Antonio Smith maybe, but he has done a great job with managing the cap situation down there. Now let's get some talent on them.
They drafted well last year with Khalil Mack and Derek Carr and Justin Ellis and Keith McGill and Gabe Jackson. They're really good players, good pieces there. So I think if they can cut Matt Schaub and get him out of their lives, that was probably one of the worst signings I've ever done. But if they can at least make some money off it by cutting him and looking smart from it, gives him plenty of coin to chase some big name free agents. I know they're after.
You reckon they make a big splash?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sue.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would not be surprised to see Sue in Oakland.
Yeah, that's it.
That'll be interesting to see how they do his contract.
Yeah. Another name that you brought up, Ryan Clady from the Denver Broncos, which is a lot of Denver fans will be probably cringing their face right now, but I kind of agree with you.
He didn't play well last year, and he hasn't played well since he had his injury.
Yeah, he got torched in the Super Bowl as well.
I have no idea how he made the Pro Bowl last year, unless it was just on name recognition. And, I mean, I know what we all think about the Pro Bowl. You know, they go down through so many alternates, and you end up with, like, the 15th best player at the position in the Pro Bowl. But his PFF rank at the tackle position was 44th out of
84.
44th out of 84, so he's middle of the road there. But he's the sixth highest paid tackle in 2015, and if they cut him, they'll save about $8.8 million.
Wow.
So they've got to sign the two Thomas twins. I wouldn't say got to. I think they have to sign Demaryius Thomas. I'm not so sure about Julius Thomas. And the reason why I say not so sure about Julius Thomas is because Julius Thomas was unheard of before Peyton Manning got there.
Yeah.
And we didn't even know who Julius Thomas was, really.
We've seen Peyton do that to a lot of people.
Exactly. And while I would pause between signing an elite receiver and signing an elite tight end, just because I think the tight end position is so versatile. If you have a pass-catching tight end, I think Julius Thomas should be lower in the priority for them. But they've got $28.5 million in cap space. They're not going to be hard-pressed to start cutting all these players. So I think Ryan Clady is just the most likely.
Yeah. I mean, do you see them re-signing Julius Thomas?
No, I don't. Gronk and even, I wouldn't even put Jimmy Graham in that top bracket anymore because of the way he played last year. The tight end position isn't, like, apart from Gronk, who is leaps and bounds, like, 1,000 times better than any other tight end, it's a little bit of a mixed bag. Like, he can pretty much sign anyone and can sort of get the same production that Julius Thomas got.
If Julius Thomas becomes a free agent, I will give you my top team of which team I think should throw money at him, and that's the Atlanta Falcons. I believe Matt Ryan needs that third target. He has Roddy White and Julio Jones. I believe he was a better player when Tony Gonzalez was there. They didn't replace his production. So I think the Falcons should probably be the ones that look at Julius Thomas if he's not re-signed by the Broncos.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But Thomas has had some injury concerns as well, so there's a little bit of a warning sticker on him.
And that's kind of the last thing the Falcons need with Julio and Roddy White.
Yeah, he's another injury-prone tight end. But it seems a lot of Denver players just keep getting linked to Oakland. Yeah, every time. With Terrence Knighton, yeah.
I mean, I think every player is kind of being linked with Oakland, though, with the amount of cap space they have. So, yeah.
All right, one last player, two last players. We'll go with Mathis Kiwanuka. I know there's an I in there. I don't know how to pronounce that properly.
You got it right. You actually were right on target.
Yep, sweet.
Mathis Kiwanuka, I think I said in my article, he's an aging veteran, over the hill, 15th highest paid at his position in the league. He was graded out as the 57th highest. If they cut him, they'll save, I think it's right around $5 million in cap space. They don't have a ton. I think it's just one of those deals where the player's too old, too overpaid, cap savings are there, and the Giants will look to cut him. They already cut David Wilson.
That's true, and cutting him and saving you said $5 million, was it?
Yeah, around $5 million, like 4.9.
That'd probably go a long way in retaining Jason Pierre-Paul.
Oh yes, definitely. Yeah. That's got to be the top priority.
Top priority for him. And the last name on our list that sort of jumps out of us is Percy Harvin for the Jets. His contract is I think about $12 million for this year.
$10.5 million. Wow. And interesting enough is, you know, people don't realize this, but the Seattle Seahawks are still taking, and this talks about how, I believe the question was brought up, was how LeSean McCoy's money would work if he was traded. So great example, Percy Harvin, he was traded. So all his bonus money that he was given for a signing bonus, because he was traded in the middle of the season, is accelerated against the Seahawks' 2015 cap. So Percy Harvin, right now, he's a $10.5 million cap hit against the Jets, and unavoidable. There's nothing that the Seahawks can do about it. He's a $7.2 million cap hit against the Seahawks' cap.
Wow.
So
that's a lot of money for one player that's never really done much, just had one good season.
Exactly.
That one punt return.
One punt return to the Super Bowl.
And you've got to call, and unfortunately, you've got to call him a Super Bowl winning wide receiver because he has a Super Bowl ring. But
yes.
when the Jets traded for him, they really assumed no risk other than giving up that draft pick.
Yeah.
Because now they can cut him with no dead money hit. The Jets aren't hurting for cap space, but when you look at Percy Harvin's production compared to his cap, to how much he's making, which he is the 8th highest paid receiver in the league. I'm not so sure the Jets really will keep him.
No, I don't think so. I think you're right in that regard, in cutting him. Any more questions for him, Woot, before we wrap it up?
Maybe. Do you see any surprise cuts that no one is expecting? Do you just think, any gut feelings that you think they might be on their way out?
I'd have to go through my list, but I'd say the biggest surprise would be LeSean McCoy, really.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think anybody thinks he'll be cut, but I genuinely think that the devaluation of the running back position could lead to them to reconsider paying him that much money in 2015.
Yeah, I'm not against it at all. I'm really not. I always look at it as the bigger picture and what's better for the team, and I mean, you know, Sproles is...
It's good.
Sproles look great.
Serviceable, and as you said, the running back class is deep. They can easily slot someone in there. And Polk did a pretty good job as well when he was given...
I really find Polk as a good run.
I got one last question for you. How much would ESPN save if they cut Skip Bayless?
Oh, my goodness. I have no idea how the guy keeps a job. I wish somebody would pay me for my NFL opinions like they pay him.
Yeah.
And, is terrible. Some of the things he says are just to get ratings. But as far as all this cap stuff that I talk about goes, any of your listeners can tweet me at ShaneNFL. I am happy to share it with people because I like educated fans being able to talk intelligently about, you know, their team. And I think it starts with having an understanding of who's getting the money on your team, who you can cut, and how much cap space your team has.
Yeah. Now, I will support what you sent me. I think it was about a month or so ago. It was incredible. It's all scroll across my desk at home. I find it really interesting how it all works, and all the stuff that you've done has been top notch. And we really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge to us and to our listeners as well.
Roger that. Anytime. Yeah. Again, it's at ShaneNFL. Happy to share anything. I also have another spreadsheet where I broke down every team's draft from 2012 to 2014 to see how much contribution they're getting from their draft picks.
All right, well, if you could email me that would be good.
All right. I'll do it right after the show.
Oh, awesome. Thanks again, Shane. And, yeah, guys, follow him. Seriously, it's good stuff.
Thanks very much, Shane.
Thanks, Matt. And we'll talk to you soon.
All right, thank you.
Thanks, bye. That was Shane. That was good.
That was very insightful.
He is good. Very good.
He didn't want to be... He's very humble, and he, you know, doesn't want to be known as... He's not a self-proclaiming expert on the matter.
Before we hit record, he was like, I'm like, what are we going to introduce you? And he's like, oh, yeah, well, don't call me an expert. I'm self-educated.
But he's, like, our expert.
And that's what we said. He's our expert, and we are... We're proud, and I wish we had the budget to pay him.
For his insights.
Awesome. I wish we could pay him as well as ESPN pays Skip Bayless, but unfortunately, we cannot.
Well, you know what? Everyone pay him in compliments. Send him
tweets. Pay him in compliments. Well done.
Tell him how good that was.
Tweet him. I'm sure once we post this up, I will, you know, plug the handle.
Even though we understand the cap situations more than, you know, say, other fans, I still learnt so much.
Some of that blew my mind.
Whew.
He had a lot of it on the top of his head as well. Right. I'm looking through paperwork, so I apologize for the ruffling paperwork all through that. All right, before we finish, we're already hitting an hour, so we're going to smash through this last part. The NFL Combine's happening right now.
As we watch the Cavaliers.
Versus. Yeah, well, I was...
Oh, Kyrie.
We were watching... I was watching the Combine earlier today, and we both have got 5 players...
Can I just say?
Yeah.
Working night shift, get home at 3:30, and I turn on the combine, and I'm trying to keep my eyes open just because I wanted to see Max Williams
run. Max Williams? This man is a beast! How did he go?
I thought he went actually pretty well. I think he showed agility when they did the passing drills. I always love to see the frustration on the people's faces when they're being yelled at by the coaches to catch the ball with their hands, and yet all the tight ends are trying to catch the ball to their body. I think that's just a natural tight end thing. Yeah. But Max Williams looked pretty good. It's always weird seeing... He's quite pale. It's funny to see that. I mean, a lot of the skill position players, there's a lot of African-Americans there, you know. So, but then the tight end, there's a lot of Caucasian tight ends out there. I mean, but anyway, he caught every ball thrown to him. I don't remember seeing him drop anything. I mean, a lot of the tight ends, I was going to say, got balls to the face. getting hit in the face and getting hit in, you know, right, just bouncing off their chest or whatever. But I mean, yeah, he looked really good and quick.
So he was one of the players on your list, obviously.
He was. You've
jumped the schedule.
He was my fifth player, though.
We had 5 players each that we must watch at the Combine. By the way, the Combine is fun and all, but it's to be taken with a grain of salt. It's more splitting players that are very equal.
Hey, you know what? In regards to some positions, I feel it's taken with a grain of salt, but others I don't feel that. I feel like it's... I mean, it's the way, like, they showed you what Greg Robinson could do last year. He was so agile.
Fast as well.
At the combine last year.
He didn't go that well this year.
No.
No. If you listen to Daniel Jeremiah's Move the Sticks podcast, excellent stuff. he suggests that it is to be taken with a grain of salt, but he really particularly likes the 40-yard dash in terms of the cornerbacks. He finds that really important because if you can't match, you know, a 4-3 receiver or a 4-4 receiver by doing a 4-3 or a 4-4 yourself, you're in a lot of trouble, unless you're very, very physical.
Yeah.
So he really watches that. He said wide receivers and running backs, yeah, it's always interesting to see how quick they are, but game speed and tape speed is what's really important.
Especially when it comes to... It's interesting because sometimes I look at the combine and I look at quarterbacks and I think, you know, this is in a completely different environment. This
you're
is
in
nothing.
Shorts. You're not.
However, then some of these quarterbacks, they might be great athletes, but they've never been on a good team in college. So it's kind of also, you know, let's
it's
see
tough.
How they go. I mean, especially with, we'll get to it anyway.
Yeah. We're going to do our five must-watch players at the combine. So you've already started us off with,
I started
Max,
with
Max
Williams.
Williams. By the way, Shane just sent me that email straight up. So he's a man of honour and a man of his word.
Everyone get on to him and just be
seriously.
Like,
seriously,
can you send me this?
And he'll do it. He's a great, that's straight away. And one thing we didn't mention is he's in the Air Force, so we really respect what he does.
He does everything.
I wish I had an applause app, but I don't really have anything.
What do we have?
Nothing.
It's showtime.
That's...
I love that.
Yeah.
No, we got nothing. Actually.
All right, that's good.
Yeah. Shame. Well done, our first guest MVP.
Yeah. That's
well done. Nice. All right, I'll kick us off. I've got Philip Dorsett on my list. They reckon he's going to be the fastest man in the draft. He's gone on record stating his goal is 4.29 seconds. He's out of Miami. Daniel Jeremiah said he has effortless speed.
I mean, it's definitely the most exciting part of the combine, just seeing if anyone can...
I like watching him get laid.
Yeah, actually, that's interesting.
I like seeing them big old men.
Actually, one more thing. That's one more thing. I'm getting rid of that, by the way. I hate that drop.
I thought you really liked the mailbag drop.
That's funny. No, last night, they were showing an interesting stat on NFL Network about the wingspan of tight ends and how poorly, if you have a small wingspan as a tight end, you've barely got a shot. And the one kind of big exception was Zach Ertz.
Really?
Zach Ertz doesn't have that big of a wingspan, but he was drafted in the second round. And when you go back and you look, most of anyone who's done anything in the NFL has gone either undrafted, if they have the smallest, if they have one of the smallest wingspans in the draft, they either go undrafted or they get, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh round. So that's really
interesting
when
fact. You look at. I didn't realize that tight ends had wings. So that was really.
Oh my god!
Who's your next player after Max Williams?
Let's go. Hang on. We're very well prepared on this show.
Well, I'll go next while you look it up. I'll stick with my wide receiver.
No,
you're right.
Stick it up yet. That's the one.
By the way, I'm getting rid of that.
No, you're not. That's the best one. IEO or Ifu Ifo Ekpre Alomu.
Say that again.
Ifu Ekpre Alomu.
Well done.
Anyway, yeah, he's before he got hurt, he was, you know, arguably going to be the number one cornerback in the draft. He was.
I remember going on like Walter Football like August last year this time last year and I was like, there's already a 2015 mock and he was like 20 overall.
Yeah. I mean, he's fast. He's not super physical, so I mean, he's going to have to, you know, work on that aspect of his game. But I mean, he. At the time, I was like, oh, I hope he slides to Philadelphia. Now,
he's, get him in like the third.
He's roughly probably like 7th, 8th, 9th ranked cornerback.
Oh, okay.
So, maybe late 2nd, maybe? Mm. I mean...
That... So, you want to see if... Because, as you said, he's not deemed to be a physical...
Yeah, but he's quick and athletic.
So, you
want
to really watch how he goes.
Yeah, you can look at how fast... You know, look at all that kind of thing. He's... Also, if you look at the highlights from this season, even though he played probably half the games, he did a very acrobatic interception, which was kind of over his head,
so
kind of thing, which was great.
He's a specimen.
He is.
Yep. All right, any last notes on him?
No.
No? Just pronounce the name again. You did a great job.
Ife Ekpeyelomu.
Doing very well. I've got a name coming up that I'm going to struggle. I'll
try that.
I'm going to struggle. But first, I'll deal with this tongue twister, Semi Coates. Now, this guy is possibly the most interesting wide receiver in the draft that can't catch. Now, why would he be a must-watch at the Combine? The reason is he is, like, insanely athletic. He's 6'2", 210 pounds. Basically, reckons he can run a 4.14. He's tweeted out a picture of a stopwatch showing a 4.14. Sorry, that was his teammate, and he did a 4.16. So he's got the talk. He reckons he'll outrun Dree Archer from last year. So he is pretty. Here's some numbers from a combine they did earlier this year.
Mm-hmm.
44 inches in the vertical jump. He did a 4.25. Benches 405 pounds. And I'll post a GIF of him.
So what's the current record stand, Chris Johnson's?
Chris Johnson's is 4.29? No, Jerry Archer did 4.26.
Oh, 4.19 maybe.
Could be, yeah. We'll have to check. We'll look it up while you do the next one. But this guy's reckons he can do it all. But there's a awesome GIF of him actually catching the pass and then just. He's, like, about to be tackled, and he just palms this guy off, flips him over, stiff arms, and runs, like, an extra 7 yards. He is a specimen, like, but he just can't catch a damn ball. Like, he cannot catch a ball. So he's like
the T-Rex of wide receivers.
So he's someone to watch at the combine, because he's going to do outstanding in the drills, and everyone's going to get giddy about him, and then they watch game tape of him and just missing, like, ball's going nowhere near his hands, like, not even making an attempt at a catch. Like, it's
maybe
not bad drops.
That could be a coaching thing?
Yeah, it could be, but... He, you know, he plays for Auburn, so it wasn't. It's not like the quarterbacking is bad there. So,
All right.
So we'll wait and see how. Cool.
We'll have to wait and see.
There you go. Right. Chris Johnson's 4.24. So Dree Archer was close.
Yeah.
So he reckons he can beat him.
All right.
Next up.
Okay. Going to some quarterbacks now.
Here we go.
I'm going with Bryce Petty.
Yep.
Out of Baylor. I've got two quarterbacks on here, so I might just say both of them.
Yeah, just do them both. Right? Yeah.
And Brett Hundley from UCLA. He was pretty good with the media, the way he spoke and stuff. However, I really dislike it when they come out and they're like, you know, I should be number one pick. Like,
when you know you're not going
to
be?
It's just like, it gets to a point when you're like, this is when people just think you're an idiot. Right? Yeah. But... Stupid drop. Anyway, but ever since this whole, you know, Russell Wilson being drafted in the third round and coming into this, you know, mega superstar, now everyone's like, you know, we can wait, we can turn these people into something like that. I mean,
so you think he has the tools?
I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that this is for the combine. So I mean, like, if he's coming out saying this, right, and people are looking for those quarterbacks that, you know, you can't get Winston or Mariota in 1 and 2,
no.
And you're still kind of looking for a quarterback like the Browns and the Jets. If they don't, you know, they're not going to get their thing. They might see these guys and be like, you know what, he could have went in the first round, and I'll show that kind of thing. And I feel the same with Bryce Petty. I feel like these are the two guys that, you know, who is after. Yeah, I mean...
Who's after the top two? It's pretty barren after the top two, whereas last year you sort of had five or six at least were mentioned, but this year it's sort of Winston and Mariota, and that's it, and there's question marks over both of those guys, and both of those top two anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, I really like Bryce Petty, actually, and I would not be surprised, you know, if the whole Mariota thing doesn't happen for Philly, and, you know, Philly's still looking for a quarterback later on... Would not put it.
Chip Kelly could make it work with any quarterback, so that's what he's a quarterbacking, like, proof offense, really.
Actually, no, I don't reckon you could do it with Peyton.
No, probably not. But yeah,
well, actually, you know what? That could actually happen. Yeah,
imagine,
I don't know.
Imagine Peyton running that option with those little chicken legs.
God.
When I look around, and I think we got a spicy team.
That'd be spicy.
Spicy.
We'd be on the same page.
Yeah.
Peyton and the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, that'd be so weird.
All right, my third guy, I did this list yesterday afternoon, and he's actually already performed today. Ali Marpe, he's an offensive lineman out of Hobart College, not in Tasmania. But he apparently went down. Yeah, we'll claim probably went down to the Senior Bowl and was just an absolute star. This is Division III football that he played for. So he's a small guy. He ran a 5 flat and was the most impressive guy. If you get a chance, head over to NFL Network and have a look, or NFL.com and have a look at what he did.
Okay.
Yeah, all right, see you later. And my other guy I've seen, as you did too, is Bud Dupree, who is a just a complete stud athlete, 6'3", 267-pound, that can play linebacker and defensive end. I think he's going to just light it up. He's just a specimen. They reckon he was clocked at 21 miles per hour on the GPS system.
Ooh.
So that's my guy. Give me your last guy.
My last guy, we've already discussed him, is Eric Kendricks. This is one guy that's, you know, he's probably, would you say second, third amongst linebackers, inside linebackers?
Yeah, I mean, he's up there.
He's definitely up
there.
Top tier. I think he was kind of slated to go second round. However, his draft stock just keeps rising and rising and rising. I think he'll probably...
Man, I'm so impressed when I watch the tape. He's anticipated his skills.
But see, then when it gets to the Colts, I think there'd be better players on the board.
No, we're after you, aren't we?
Huh?
We're after you.
No, I'm not saying he's a pick 20 caliber player. I'm not saying that's why Philadelphia shouldn't draft him there. Yeah. I'm not saying that.
I think he is.
Really?
Yeah, I'd take him in the first round, absolutely. He looks like a stud to me. Plus, you know, your boy Markell will be in their ear about him. Oi, Chip, that's my brother. Oi, Chip, that's my brother.
Markell.
Michael?
Michael.
It's spelt weird. It's like M-Y-C-H-A-L or something.
Yeah,
so Markell. Markell.
Marcel? No. Yeah, no, but, okay, just like his brother, though. Very similar. It's like watching a clone almost. It's just...
Yeah.
Yeah, it's...
I want someone like that in the middle.
It's insane. And, I mean, it was kind of... Kendricks was being, you know, touted as this good player. I'm talking about Michael for a second. He was touted as a good player. And when the combine came around and they showed you, you know, how fast he ran the 40 and, you know, how, like... The cone drills and stuff I really find interesting for linebackers. Not looking, you know, at the ground, maneuvering yourself around. I mean, that's just... That's something that you really got to look at with Eric too, because I mean, if he does it anywhere near his brother, his draft stock could boom.
Yeah.
All right, go say his name.
My last guy is also from UCLA, and I'm going to struggle with his name, and I should have experience in pronouncing.
Three UCLA players. It's pretty good.
Asian girls everywhere. UCLA. Shout out to Childish Gambino. This name, I should have experience pronouncing names. My cousin is married to a Nigerian.
That doesn't mean...
That I still can't pronounce his name. I did it at the soccer presentation, remember? I announced his name and he was like, you got it wrong. He hit me. He hit me in front of everyone. Owang.
I'm going to say it.
No. I'm going to just stick with it, all right? Let me...
Mm-hmm.
Owangabi Odowazingwa. You want to try it? Let's see if we get different.
What?
It's so hard.
Owamagbe. Odigizuwa. Yeah, we'll go with
that. Owambagi Odizuwa. He is just, again, another specimen, similar to Bud Dupree. He's... 270 pounds, 6'3", and their defensive line coach down at UCLA reckons he has 6% body fat, and he ran a 4.62.
6%
body fat.
What does he eat?
Nothing. Nothing. Yeah. So for someone that weighs 270 pounds, or he ran a 4.62 when he was weighed 264 pounds, which is. So quick for a massive, massive unit. So I really want to watch him, and I also want to see how Mike Mayock pronounces the name. And same with Rich Eisen. Owambagi Odowazingwa.
My whole favourite thing about the draft is Mike Mayock.
You like Mike Mayock?
I love Mike Mayock.
I must admit, I like Mike Mayock over Mel Kiper. I can't handle Mel Kiper at all.
I don't like what Mel Kiper looks like.
That's a bit harsh.
No, I know. It's just, I don't know. It's something I just think, who's this guy on the television? Where'd they get him from?
Exactly. They better check themselves before they wreck themselves, Cotton. So that's our must watch at the Combine, which will be happening tomorrow and Monday. A lot of 40-yard dashes and things like that.
I want everyone talking about...
Umage Odozingwa.
Yeah. I want everyone to give their attempt at pronouncing their name.
How are we going to do that?
I don't know.
Just record on your phone trying to attempt that name. We'll post the actual spelling of the name.
You know what? On Twitter. And if you do this...
Yeah, if you send us an audio...
We'll play it on next week's show.
Yeah, I'll put them on the drop board here.
Oh, that will be so...
Because there's a couple on here.
And we'll be like, number five.
Yeah, we'll do a power rankings of everyone's audio attempts at... Oh, by the way, when I was preparing this list, I was on the computer.
Yeah.
Typing out the list. My mum was on the lounge. And I said to her, come and pronounce this name. And she couldn't do it. So what I did was I copied and pasted into a website where it reads out
text.
Like
the Microsoft Sam Siri.
Yeah, and I did it in American, German, British, and they all were different and it was all wrong. And then an Arabic one was probably the most right, but I couldn't understand what they were saying. But Mum was like, she's pissing herself. She thought it was hilarious. And so I got my inspiration from them on how to pronounce it, and I think it just did not work.
Do you reckon I could ask Siri and Siri would know how to say it?
Let's do it. We're already way over time. What's another couple of minutes?
All right, I need the letters. I'm not sure of how this works. I'm just going to say, how do you pronounce O-W-A-M-A-G-B-E?
Okay, yeah? Right, do it.
We'll see this. Actually, my Siri's a man, by the way.
What?
Yeah. Did you know that, guys? I've got Siro. All right.
Is that his name?
I don't know.
Siro.
I'm going to call him that.
All right. Well, why are you doing that?
Okay, well, filibuster. Do you know what that word means?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that mean?
How do you pronounce O-W-A-M-A-G-B-E? Nope.
Brought up a web search.
And then it said, how do you pronounce the letter G?
I will talk into my Siri with the name and see if it brings up, data on the player.
Oh, what if you just go...
Did you mean...
Oh, Omampe. Here's what I found
on the web for Omabay.
Omabay? Oh, that's funny. At least it didn't come up Summer Bay.
Owamabe Odowazingwa.
Here's Margaret, Australia.
Margaret, Australia is 787 kilometres away.
Alright, cool.
That's our next podcast. Surprise twist. We're podcasting from Margaret, Australia.
Not happening. Alright, let's go. Let's wrap it up.
Stay golden, pony boy.
Yeah, all right, that is the show. That's the show for today. We really appreciate Shane for coming on and talking about the salary cap issues and what's going on. After the Combine, we'll probably wrap it up a little bit next week, and we will look towards draft and free agency.
Yeah.
We're preparing our free agency sheet for our competition, which if you just tweet us or private message us your emails, we'll send them all out to people via email. And we'll get that competition up and running.
Mm-hmm.
That's guessing where each free agent will sign, and we'll work out rules and all that for you in the meantime. And in the next couple of months, in March actually, we've got two special guests lined up. Shane P. Hallam from Draft TV will be coming on to preview the draft. He's going to go through his latest mock draft with us, and he might settle some scores between me and you arguing over a certain player. You might sort of adjudicate any player v players that we have going on. And then we've also got Josh Buchanan coming on. He is he's a small school expert, like the hidden gems of the draft that not many people know about. So he's going to tell us.
Our small school's expert.
Maybe. Our. We've got plenty of experts. And so they're two guests coming up in March. So that's exciting.
I'm just pumped. I just want the draft already.
He's just so pumped.
I just want the draft already.
I know, it's so long away. So long away. And that's pretty much it. If you have any suggestions on the show... oh, by the way, we'll be talking about our GM draft when that's finished.
All right, that's my pick right now.
Is it? Are you on the clock?
I'm on the clock right now. Let's get on to it.
All right, as always, you can follow us. Oh, by the way, sorry. Big Dog Australia at big_dog_Australia. Follow them on Twitter. They've sent us up some hats and shirts and stuff that we're going to use as prizes for March Badness, which we'll be kicking off in March too. So we're going to do, there's sort of 5 minutes each episode throughout the month of March where we'll be going through our brackets in that. So look alive.
In regards to the combine, this was mentioned off air, but we're going to do our own combine.
Maybe. It's just like, I want to do it because I thought of it. It's great. It'd be great. But I also know how much athletically disabled I am compared to you.
I mean,
you're like 6'2", I'm like 5'9".
Roger Goodell did it in an office.
Like, Omde Ogazawu has 6% body fat. I have 94% body fat.
Wow, you're dead.
You're
essentially
I'm Mr. Burns in The Simpsons, where it's like, you have every disease and it's holding you up. if we cure one, you will die.
Yeah. What do you reckon your vertical jump is?
I think we should make our own combine. So it's similar
to... How many pies can you eat?
Yeah, we'll do podcasting combine. So suggest events that we can do. Challenge.
Oh, that's so good.
Yes. That way, because we know you're faster than me, you can jump higher than me, you can lift more than me. It's not going to be revealed.
Actually, I don't know about the lifting thing.
I'm weak as... I lost to confession. I lost to Chris Lawrence's sister Emma in an arm wrestling.
Oh, so did I.
Did you lose too?
She's deceptively strong.
Deceptively strong.
There was also another girl in high school that will remain nameless for privacy reasons, but she kicked my ass every time I.
Yeah, I'm not going to bring that up.
Yeah. Yep.
All right. As always, follow me on Twitter at Josh Y. No, JYNFL.
Hopeless. I'll change mine too to Fuffy Bunny
73.
No, at Josh Woot, of course.
Yep, as always, we're on Twitter at WootNY. Please tweet us your questions. We got a couple of questions for this episode, but we just had a lot going on. So,
Do it next week.
Yeah, at AllSportsFan1 asked us a really good question. So, that's on the agenda for next week's episode. So, don't be alarmed.
Tweet in the combine suggestions. Really
combine suggestions and your audio suggestion on how to say Owangbe Odawizinga.
We'll tweet that name.
Yeah, please. All right, ciao.
Laters.